In 1942, the U.S. government quietly acquired 59,000 acres of Tennessee farmland and began building something extraordinary, a secret city that would eventually house 75,000 people while officially not existing on any map. Behind fences and checkpoints, thousands of workers, many of them young women from small towns across America, labored on equipment they didn't understand, forbidden from asking questions about their purpose. The muddy construction site transformed into the fifth largest city in Tennessee, with dormitories, cafeterias, theaters, and massive industrial facilities operating 24 hours a day. Security was omnipresent. Propaganda posters warned that loose lips sink ships, while the most famous Oak Ridge billboard featured Uncle Sam with three monkeys representing see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, alongside the message, "What you see here, what you do here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here." Only when atomic bombs fell on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in August 1945 did these workers discover what they had been creating all along, enriched uranium for the world's first nuclear weapons. They came from everywhere, rural Tennessee farmers' daughters, college-educated chemists, secretaries from Manhattan. Celia Zapka left her comfortable job when an Army colonel asked her to transfer somewhere unnamed for about 6 months, arriving at the muddy site in fashionable shoes she refused to ruin. 18-year-old Tony, inspired by Rosie the Riveter posters, was determined to work at Site X despite knowing nothing about it, and was hired despite her thick East Tennessee accent. Jane Greer, a statistics graduate, took a job at Clinton Engineering Works to stay near her widowed father, though she'd wanted to be an engineer but was told, "We don't matriculate engineering as a major for females." For Caddy Strickland, a Black woman from Alabama, the opportunity meant leaving her children behind for better wages. Unlike white couples, she and her husband Willie weren't permitted to live together in Oak Ridge's segregated section, where she shared a tiny 16-by-16-foot hutment with three other women. Young women like Dot Jones found freedom in the dormitories, despite challenges such as sleeping in overcoats before windows were installed. They joined the College Women's Club, organizing events and offering babysitting services for 25 cents an hour, giving them access to real kitchens for baking with rationed sugar. The psychological toll was severe. Chief psychiatrist Dr. Eric Clark noted residents in a perpetual state of edgy exhaustion. The inability to discuss work stress, combined with cramped quarters and isolation from support networks, created significant mental health issues. Dating occurred under constant surveillance. When Dot was on a date in a parked car, a stranger appeared, called her by name, and asked if she was all right. The next day, her date's boss warned against seeing him again. Beyond visible security, an invisible network of informants, creeps, maintained order. 18-year-old Helen Hall was recruited by men in suits to spy on coworkers, given pre-addressed envelopes to Acme Insurance Company, and instructions for a Dropbox. Though presented as a request, Helen felt compelled to accept this surveillance role. The nuclear fission story began in 1934, when German geochemist Ida Noddack proposed that atomic nuclei could split into several large fragments, an idea dismissed by physicists. 4 years later, Lise Meitner and Otto Frisch theorized that uranium nuclei could split, releasing enormous energy from just 1 gram. The breakthrough came on December 2, 1942, when Enrico Fermi achieved the first self-sustaining nuclear reaction under the University of Chicago's Stagg Field. Arthur Compton later informed James Conant with the coded message, "The Italian navigator has just landed in the New World. Everyone landed safe and happy." Oak Ridge housed three uranium separation facilities. The largest, K-25, used gaseous diffusion, where lighter U-235 molecules passed through microscopic holes faster than U-238. At completion, K-25 was the world's largest building under one roof, spanning 44 acres and costing $512 million. The Y-12 plant used electromagnetic separation in calitrons, using about 13,540 tons of borrowed treasury silver for magnets. Young rural women operated this equipment after minimal training, chosen because supervisors believed they would follow instructions without questioning. For Dorothy Jones, working somewhere in East Tennessee meant helping end the war that had taken her brother at Pearl Harbor. Behind the scientific achievement lay disturbing ethical compromises. Element 94, plutonium, posed significant health risks that Glenn Seaborg warned could be very harmful, even in milligram quantities. This led to unconscionable human experimentation. In April 1945, an African-American patient known as HP-12, Eb Cade, became the first unwitting subject when doctors administered plutonium without consent, extracted 15 teeth for research, and delayed treating his broken bones. Cade died in 1953, never knowing what had been done to him. Despite Roosevelt's Executive Order 8802 prohibiting racial discrimination in defense industries, black workers faced inequality in housing, wages, and working conditions. Workers like Caddy Strickland showed remarkable resilience. Her renowned cooking skills, particularly biscuits made in repurposed K-25 pans, became a form of currency she used to negotiate with guards, creating small spaces of autonomy within an oppressive system. On July 16, 1945, the Trinity test occurred at Alamogordo, New Mexico. At 5:29:45 a.m., the device detonated with devastating power, creating temperatures four times hotter than the sun's core and a mushroom cloud visible for 200 miles. The government claimed it was an explosives magazine accident, while General Groves sent a coded message, "The baby is born." On August 6, excitement spread throughout Oak Ridge as the secret was finally revealed. When Toni called her boyfriend Chuck with the news, he hung up. She wasn't supposed to know. Oak Ridge celebrated Japan's surrender on August 14, though some workers retreated to private spaces, contemplating their role in the destruction. For chemist Bill Wilcox and others who had faced accusations of draft dodging, the revelation provided vindication. In a cathartic letter to his parents, Wilcox detailed his classified work, praising the young people who had shouldered such enormous responsibility. As Oak Ridge transitioned from wartime secrecy to peacetime, Manhattan Project women built families and careers in the atomic age. Oak Ridgers faced shifting public attitudes toward their work. Dot, a former cubicle operator turned museum docent, quit after visitor confrontations. When asked if she felt ashamed about helping build the bomb, she simply replied, "They killed my brother." Modern Oak Ridge balances historical significance with ongoing innovation. The National Laboratory continues cutting-edge research, occasionally hosting the world's fastest computer. Though military control ended long ago, the town's prefab origins remain visible beneath newer structures. As original residents pass away, preserving their history becomes urgent. Their stories show ordinary Americans accomplishing the extraordinary without knowing their full purpose until witnessing its world-changing impact. Their legacy reveals how everyday people can become unwitting participants in history's most consequential moments, challenging us to question what unseen purposes our own work might serve.